The swelling harmonies of gospel music were the soundtrack to P.J. Morton's life growing up in the Baptist Church of New Orleans, playing the organ and singing alongside his mother and father during their sermons. From the sermons to the stage, he's gone on to win 5 Grammy Awards and compose and produce with big names like Stevie Wonder and Disney. He's in Australia for the Byron Bay Blues Festival this weekend. But first, he's dropped by the RN Drive studios. PJ Morton, welcome to you.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
I kind of grew up a little bit in the Anglican church, a little bit. And this is a very low-key, low-energy kind of situation.
Different vibe.
It's not a big vibe, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
But I'm curious about growing up with 2 preacher parents and what New Orleans Baptist Church are like. I mean, is it sort of big hats, Sunday best, singing and dancing, or have I watched too many movies?
That definitely was the movies, but no, that existed as well. Not every Sunday, you know, that was kind of like the special day, you know, an anniversary or men's day or something like that, you know. But ultimately, even my dad's church was different from a lot of other churches.
Because he was from Detroit.
He's from Canada, actually Windsor, Ontario.
Originally.
But right across the tunnel from Detroit.
Uh-huh.
His father had a church in Canada and in Detroit.
Right.
The first of its kind. And so I think my dad was just different in general. He was a singer himself. So he made sure we had the best musicians in the church. So just the vibe of what we had was New Orleans mixed with that, because Detroit's gospel was, I mean, top of the top. The Winans and Commission and the Clark sisters, they were like the cutting edge of modern gospel music. So it was a mixture, and I got to be right in the middle of all of it, man. So I was just like a little kid, just with my eyes wide, you know, taking all of this amazing music in and the amazing energy that was around. You know?
What a fertile place for a young mind to be. Yeah. A lot of your music these days is R&B. And I wonder, does your background in gospel music still inform your writing at all? Can you ever depart from that background at all?
No, I don't. I think it's very much a part of me. You know, I think, you know, as much as I do R&B music, I claim to be a soul singer, you know, and I think soul music is really merging R&B with gospel. It's that feeling and that spirituality. You know, a lot of times R&B music is, you know, it can be sexual. It's about love, but it's usually set in a mood, you know. But soul music, I think, is that on a spiritual level, but it gives you those jazzy chords and the bluesy chords that come with R&B. So I've always felt like a mixture of those things, but I can't ever run away from the gospel roots.
Clearly the music has stayed with you. What about the religion?
Yeah. I'm a believer, and I think that my music is used mainly to encourage people. You know, I like to, everything's gonna be all right, and a song called Better, and all of these different things. Of course, I write about love the most. But I think my spirituality comes in when I have songs like that are there to encourage and inspire. You know, I learned that in church, seeing people sing songs lift people, you know, people who come in looking down, and a song can change their mood right there. That's never left me. So I think my faith mixed with my musicality, I think that'll always be there as well.
I read that your first producing gig was at the age of 15 or 16. I mean, when I was 15 or 16, I was looking at my shoes. I was terrified. I was crippled by my own anxieties. I wonder, how did you pluck up the courage to insert yourself into that project?
Yeah, I think a big part of it was environment. I mean, I think when you see it being done, you just know that it's possible. So for me, I was around, I always had older friends, you know. I was always hanging around the older guys, and I think seeing them do it, I just didn't have in my mind that I couldn't do it. I didn't know otherwise. I think the ignorance was a good thing at that age, because I'm like, well, they're doing it. I believe that I can, and I was inspired to, because there's so much of that around. So I just took a crack at it. I mean, initially, how that first one happened, I was just going to the studio by myself because I wanted to hear what my song sounded like. Like, if I could put harmonies on this, like, let me hear what it sounds like. And I let my best friend hear it, and his brother happened to be in that group. And he was like, man, this is good. You should let my brother hear it. But I didn't know how any of that worked. And he let them hear it, and they recorded it. And that was my first. I had to bring the CD to school to prove to my friends that I actually.
Now you're
did
dating
it.
Yourself, mentioning CDs.
CDs.
I know where you are right now.
Yeah,
I know where
indeed,
you are.
Yeah, indeed.
Speaking about harmonization, obviously that you know that choir based four part sort of harmonies is rich in your tradition. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious. I also read that one of your favorite songs is the Beach Boys' "God Only Knows."
Oh man.
You've said, and I think this is a really great way to describe this song. It's one of the most perfect songs, so simple and so complex at the same time. I didn't really kind of know that until I saw the Beach Boys biopic, and you kind of see the layers
sure.
and the experimentation that went into that studio session. Talk to me about your love of that song.
Pet Sounds in general, I mean, it's just so complex, right? But if you just sing God Only Knows, it just, I mean, the melody is very simple. It's almost like lullaby like, you know. It's very simple. But when you sit down and you try to play it, you're like, wait, he was changing keys the whole time. Like, this is very complex. You know, I think the best songs in the world, especially the best pop songs, are the ones that are singable and seem easy. But the complexity in them is what really makes them that. I think that's where Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones hit a stride, you know, on Thriller and on Off the Wall, all these crazy string arrangements, but you don't know. You're just singing the songs. You don't feel all of that stuff until you really get deep into it, or if you're a musician and you know everything that's going on. But God Only Knows, man. It's a brilliant song.
Isn't it?
It's a brilliant song.
I always listen to it and I hear something new, and that is such a real mark of a song that's been well engineered.
Yeah.
If you've just joined me on RN Drive, PJ Morton is my guest, and I have to ask you about your meeting with Stevie Wonder. You've met him a few times.
Yes.
And you formed a real friendship, from what I understand.
Sure.
Tell me about when you had a chat with Stevie Wonder in an aeroplane bathroom.
Well, it wasn't in the bathroom, thank God.
Okay, but, all right. Keep it clean.
But,
keep it clean.
Yeah. Now, me and Steve, we didn't make it in there together, but he just had put harmonica on one of my songs, actually, but we hadn't done that in person. So we hadn't talked about it or had any real relationship. I met him really quickly before that. But I was going to the bathroom on a flight, and I felt this. Stevie's actually really tall. He's probably about your height, actually. And I felt this figure come behind me, like waiting for the bathroom. And I happened to turn around. I was like, I'm like, Stevie, man, this is PJ. You just did my song, you know, like, good to meet you. Thank you for doing it. And he was like, oh man, it's good to meet you. You know, you can really sing. I love the song, blah, blah, blah. And of course, I mean, I let Stevie go in front of me. You know, I didn't still just be like, all right, well, good to meet you. Let me go in.
I'm really busting.
So I let him go. And that was a quick meeting, but that was really our first conversation. That was the first conversation. Odd place to do it, but I mean, it's grown from there, and still blows my mind. I was just telling people on stage the other day, because he called me on my way to Australia about something unrelated, and another song that we did, and I still get giddy like a kid.
That's Stevie Wonder calling you.
I'm showing my friends, you know, as if they don't know. I'm like, Stevie's calling me, you know, because it's just beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, he's the reason I wanted to do this. So the fact that I get to make music with him, you know, even have conversations with him, have him call me is, man, I mean, I'd never ask for more than that.
Dream come true.
Yeah.
You've been spending a bit of time in Africa recently. You've had a very productive time writing and producing. I think it was only 30 days, and
that's
you've
right.
basically come out with a whole record.
Yeah.
What was special about that trip for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was really at a point searching for inspiration, and my label and I started talking about Africa Empire. And I watched Graceland, you know, what Paul Simon did there.
Yeah.
And wanted
but also how not to do it with Paul Simon.
For sure. I was just about to say, you know, it showed me what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do, you know, kind of how I wanted to do Africa. And so I said, I don't want to go and just take and create something at home. I want to be there, and I actually want to only create there. Mm. And so I kind of put some pressure on myself to not write anything before I got to Africa and not write anything after I went to Africa. So we created this album on the continent fully. You know, all the songs were written there. I did all my vocals there. And, you know, we've come up with this album, Cape Town to Cairo, because we went from the bottom of Africa all the way up to Egypt, from South Africa to Egypt. And I didn't only just make the record. I wanted to make sure that I went out, you know, and saw the nightlife and like ate the food there, really, really got with the people there, really got with artists and creatives there. And it was a life change. It was a life changing trip. I mean, I can't even explain how, you know, it really, like, as soon as I got off the plane, I felt like I was home and felt like I was, especially being a Black American, you know, and never really going to the places where my ancestors were brought from, you know, or taken from. And so it was a lot going on at once. And I was just writing every day. We got studios in every from South Africa to Nigeria to Ghana to Egypt. And man, I can't wait to let people hear this music. I mean, the first single just come out, Please Be Good, but the album, and then there's going to be a documentary to follow showing that journey that we went on.
In fact, I think we should play Please Be Good. This was created with a Nigerian producer that you worked with whilst you were traveling around Africa. Just tell me a little bit about this song.
Yeah, P Prime, man. He's one of my favorites right now. Young producer, I think only 21 years old. And I walked in. It's the day I got to Nigeria. We went to the shrine, you know, where Fela Kuti made it famous. And now his sons, Femi does it. And his grandson I met that night, who's on the album, Made Kuti. And I was so inspired. The next day I went to the studio, met P Prime, and he played me some of these tracks, and I started writing immediately. And Please Be Good came from it.
I love it. Love Fela Kuti, and certainly identify some of those tales or telltale signs in this song. Sure. My guest is PJ Morton. You can catch him tonight. He's playing at the City Metro and then, of course, Byron Bay at the Byron Bay Blues Festival. So great to see you. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Thank you for having me, man.
I've been on the go working so hard. I think I need a break. Every now and then it gets too much. Much more than I can take. Yeah. So take me to another place. Somewhere far away. Don't need to be in control. I just want to let go. So please be good to me. 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 I don't require much attention. I just need a little time. Yeah. I'll be back to myself in a minute. I just need to clear my mind. So can you take me to another place? Somewhere far away. I don't need to be in control. I just want to let go. So please be good to me. 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 Please be good to me, 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 please be good to me.
You've been listening to a podcast of The Drawing Room with me, Andy Park. For more great conversations, search for The Drawing Room on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.